back to the WILS Weekend Kickoff on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS. Here's Dave Benton.
All welcome right. back. Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS, streaming live at 1320WILS.com. Become a fan of the show on Facebook at 1320WILS Weekend Kickoff. You can also follow us on Twitter at WILS Weekend Kick. Dave Benton here with my co-host and producer, Scott Eckersley. Joined now on the phone by Detroit Free Press writer Kirkland Crawford. Kirkland, thanks for joining us, man.
Dave, good morning, buddy. How you doing?
Well, I'm good. So let's start today with the Tigers. I do want to get to the Red Wings at some point, but let's start with the Tigers. How confident are you in Phil Koch being a starter?
Personally, not very. Just to be honest with you, I think Phil Koch as a starter, as a reliever, last season was extremely effective. Could come in, get one out, could come in and burn two innings for you. I just don't think the Tigers maybe should have messed with that per se, but as you alluded to, it's his first start as a Tiger. It's his second start of his career in the major leagues today and this afternoon over at Comerica Park. And, the Tigers feel confident. They think he has three solid pitches, which is good enough to be an effective starter in the major leagues. So, this experiment more or less really begins in earnest this afternoon.
Let's talk about another quote-unquote experiment, which was the signing of Brad Penny. Is he doing so far about what you expected he would do, or has he been even a little disappointing for what they paid for him?
I think he's doing about what you expected. He's the quote-unquote power arm, and those types of players tend to give up a lot of hits. Especially the good fastball-hitting teams, which the Yankees and Orioles are. Brad Penny is still kind of working himself into shape. He's battled injuries his whole career. As a fourth or fifth starter, I think he isn't going to wow you necessarily. This isn't the early part of the last decade, so Brad Penny isn't going to be throwing 97 miles an hour and getting guys out with just his stuff. I think he's still learning that. And, when he kind of develops this guile of getting guys out with pitching instead of just overall overpowering guys, it may help. I don't know if he's going to be capable of doing that, but it seems that the Tigers are going to give him, at least a month and a half to figure it out.
Talking with Kirkland Crawford from the Detroit Free Press here on the Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS. Kirkland, it's Scott here. Now, the theme of our show this morning has kind of been overreactions in the media. Mm. And I've kind of got two questions for you. What's the biggest overreaction you've seen? And then what's one that you can make about the Tigers?
Probably the biggest overreaction I've seen is probably when they got off to the 2-4 start. Look, teams are going to lose 4 out of 6 games all throughout the season. It's just that the Tigers picked their first time to do it in the first 6 games. I guess the other thing has not been overblown has been the woes of the bullpen. Even in yesterday's 5-2 win, the seventh inning was shaky. The seventh inning was the issue a couple of nights ago in the loss to the Orioles. Without Ryan Perry and Joel Zamaya, it's going to be tough. It's going to be touch and feel in that seventh inning for Jim Leland and the Tigers because, as I think you've seen the last two nights, they really don't have an option. I mean, Daniel Schlereth is a one-hitter guy, and probably so too is Brad Thomas. They don't really have a guy who can navigate through an entire seventh inning, and that's a very vital role in the American League trying to get those last 9 outs.
Kirk, what's the best thing you've seen about the Tigers through 1 week?
I think the best thing probably has been the emergence of Avila and Bosch from an offensive standpoint. There was a major question mark around those two guys. Young Tigers, parts of the future of that team, as to whether they could hit at the major league level, with Bosch and his incredible start last season. Some people thought that was just a flash in the pan. Alex Avila struggled offensively throughout most of last season, and those two guys have really been a big part of the thunder behind the Tigers' offense. If Bosch continues to hit and if Avila continues to hit, it's going to help that lineup turn over much more quickly throughout the regular season, and there'll be a few more runs scored for the Tigers. And, you know, to be honest, scoring runs was a major issue for Detroit last season, especially with runners in scoring position.
Well, and not to mention, and we're talking about the Kirkland Crawford of the Detroit Free Press, if you can't get your leadoff guy on base to score runs, it's kind of an issue. And with Austin Jackson, I think he's a tremendous talent. But at what point do you say, you know what, maybe we should move him down in the lineup because he's just not getting on base in that leadoff spot?
Well, the only, the flip side of that coin is who then do you put as the leadoff hitter?
That's a very good question. We were talking about that earlier. The best option we could come up with was maybe Peralta because he's hitting for average, but that was about the best we could come up with.
I mean, most managers are, married to the idea of putting your fastest guy as leadoff hitter, and, no disrespect to Johnny Peralta.
Oh, he's no Austin Jackson as far as speed goes, no.
You certainly won't be mistaking him and Olympic speed runner. but I think the Tigers are committed to Jackson being a leadoff guy because he's someone who, throughout the last season, yes, struck out a bunch, got on base, hit 300 for 90% of the season. I think they're committed to that idea. And I think they're going to give him at least half the season to see if he can cut down the strikeout rate. Because if he does so, he's going to be on base, he's going to have on base percentage of almost 400.
Kirkland Crawford, Detroit Free Press with us. Kirkland, I want to get your opinion on something outside the Detroit Tigers that's been going on. We got your opinion on Gary Sheffield when he retired. Now Manny Ramirez is retiring amid the steroid allegations or performance-enhancing drug allegations. What is your opinion on Manny Ramirez as far as what are you going to remember about Manny Ramirez in baseball?
I'll remember his quirkiness. The famed Manny being Manny was, a double-edged sword. It was cute, when he's, cutting balls off in left field for no reason or, ducking into the Green Monster to, for personal timeout, but that also is a part of this steroid situation. I mean, whatever he took the second time, it seems as if he was ignorant to the idea of what he's done, and, it's almost as if he doesn't really care necessarily, and that also is part of the Manny being Manny thing. But most of all, I remember him being at one point the most feared right-handed hitter in baseball.
Totally agree with that. As we talk about steroids, and obviously we can't get too much into it, but I know your opinion is that people that take steroids shouldn't get into the Hall of Fame. I think we talked about that last time. But in your opinion, is steroids really that much of an advantage these days?
Well, I mean, I read an interesting book about a year or so ago, about how the game of baseball has notoriously been about cheating at one respect or another, whether it's throwing signs or the play at the second base where it's a close play but you're in the neighborhood so they give you the out. So there has been some level or another of bending the rules somehow or another throughout the game. I personally believe that if you have the numbers, you should go in. And if part of your legacy is the steroids issue, whether you're Barry Bonds or Roger Clemens or now Manny Ramirez, that should be a part of what's on your plaque. Obviously, I don't think baseball's going to do that, and certainly the baseball writers aren't going to do that because they feel as stewards of the game, they want to protect it and keep it as pristine as possible. But, I mean, look, especially now with the Internet, you can't hide the history of it. And, unfortunately, as much a part of all the success that those guys had, the drug issue is as big a part of their legacy as anything else.
Kirkland Crawford, Detroit Free Press with us. Kirkland, before we let you go, I know you got a busy day ahead of you. I just wanted to ask you about the Detroit Red Wings for a second. They're getting ready to head into the playoffs. What is the health status of Hank Zetterberg?
Well, you know, the Red Wings and most NHL teams are as tight-lipped about injuries.
Yeah, they're very specific with their injury reports, I know.
I mean, it's war secret level secrecy. I don't think he'll be 100%, obviously, going into the playoffs now. It helps that the playoffs really don't start till maybe the Wings will either be going on Wednesday or Thursday. But he obviously won't be at 100%, and that's a big thing. I mean, Zetterberg is a former MVP of the playoffs for the Red Wings the last time they won the Stanley Cup. He's a very important part of the team. Ken Holland a couple of days ago said so much as, you know, Zetterberg should potentially get consideration for the Hart Trophy just because of how important he is to the Red Wings. I think it's a concern, but I think the biggest concern is who's going to be stopping pucks for him, because Jimmy Howard had an okay playoff last year. It's obvious that the Red Wings' defense isn't as good as it's been in years past, and they were Stanley Cup champion and contenders. And can Howard make up the difference in net? And if he can't, the Wings are going to kind of have to be sink or swim, because just like Zetterberg, Chris Osgood is much further away from being ready to play and may not get any ice time at all during the playoffs.
With that being said, how do you like the Wings' chances heading into the playoffs?
I think the one team that's decidedly better than them right now is Vancouver. The savvy and veteranness of the Red Wings, I think, puts them better than most teams. The problem is that when the playoffs start, the Wings tend to get challenged by teams that have a little bit more speed, that have a little bit more toughness, and seem to be playing in a playoff mode. And the issue is that five or six of the teams in the playoffs right at this point have been in a quote-unquote playoff mode the last month, and a lot of times they take that momentum and carry it over into the playoffs. I'd be concerned as a Wings fan of whether they can turn the switch on. I mean, because as you saw certainly last night, the Blackhawks, who are in that playoff mode, turned it on quickly, scored the first goal in less than half a minute into the game, and jumped on the Wings, and the Red Wings need to be ready for that type of
And it
pitch.
Happened. It happened against Carolina as well in midweek, too.
So. Happened against Carolina, happened against Nashville a week ago. Now they came back and won the game in overtime, but you can't afford to be going down 2-0, 3-0 quickly when teams are playing with that type of confidence. I don't care how good your roster looks.
Kirkland, we appreciate it. Good stuff as always, man. Have a good one.
Thanks again, though.
All right, Kirkland Crawford, Detroit Free Press with us. We'll be back. We'll talk more Masters. Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS.